Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and today we are talking about Season 6, Episode 5, the premiere! I am here, as always, with my co-host, who definitely got contacted to be a pilot for Larry Air, Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
How dare you? After last week and my tirade about Larry Air, you dare suggest that I would work for Larry Air?
I have a serious question, though. Can you be a pilot if you have to wear glasses? I know you can't if you're, like, colorblind. But if you wear glasses,
I'm citing that one thing in Little Miss Sunshine where he finds out he's colorblind and can't do it. That's like my knowledge. Is that where you're drawing from? Yeah, we podcasted together too long that I saw that like signposted. I don't know. I'm guessing so. Maybe contacts?
Okay. Know. Well, yeah, sure. Maybe. I don't know. But we're not alone today, Stuart. We are joined by someone who would love for David to be her dad, Grace.
My dad. Say that. My dad's name is David.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah.
Okay, I actually didn't know that. I actually didn't know that. That's incredible though. Wow.
My mom's name is Nora, but I'm gonna say for the it's actually Noira.
Close enough.
Noira. Perfect.
Yeah, happy to be here. The premiere. So excited.
The premiere.
I think you have to have a vision that's correctable to 2020, and then you're allowed to be a pilot. That's what I believe. That's
okay. So you can't be colorblind, but you can be nearsighted.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. So we could all be pilots if we really, if we really wanted to.
We could all be pilots.
Mm. All right, so the pod ends today. We're going to study to be pilots. Let's
that's like
it.
A band name. We could all be pilots.
We could fly to Windsor, Hoboken,
South Dakota, the great destinations of the world. Grace, you picked a great one. You picked a really good one to come on for because I've been waiting for Stuart to get to see Patrick on Painkillers. I've watched this episode too many times this week, mostly because watching Patrick just go, I'm hungry. I'm a hungry, hungry,
I'm
hungry. Hippo.
I'm hungry. It's a great episode. It's very funny. It's very silly. Like the premiere stuff is very silly, and then it's very heartwarming in multiple storylines. I feel like this is a little bit like talk later about how good it is overall. But I feel like it's like this felt very quintessential Schitt's Creek for somebody who's like popping in and out of Schitt's Creek along with you. This is a very good episode.
Yeah. Stuart, what'd you think? This is the first time you've seen this episode. Did I hype it up too much for you? How did you feel about it?
No, I think perfectly well hyped because I went into it with higher expectations than last week's episode, which I was really down on. And so I was like, yeah, we're back on form. I feel like the series is went really British there for a second. The season's properly like started up and it's got its flow going again. So if it can maintain this pace, I'm gonna be really happy. But this episode was knockout. Really, really high on this episode. Because it was just, I mean, as high as Patrick was, maybe, because it was just bonkers.
Why are you glassy eyed, like, Stuart? Why are your eyes so glassy?
Yeah.
How can you do it?
How do they do it? Like, is it just acting? Are they that good at acting? Do they?
I never thought about that. How do you make people look really hot? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because David, I believe, could be just acting because he's doing the like squinty eyed high person thing, and that you can act. But the glassy eyes, like, is there just drops?
Yeah, I assume there has to be stuff you can like put in people's eyes that like
blow a bunch of smoke in their face.
You know, I don't know if this is the same thing, but you know, when you go to the eye doctor and I go to the eye doctor every year because I have diabetes. So I get a free eye exam every year, not to brag or anything.
You're so privileged.
Please,
so
privileged.
Please, you know, brag about your free healthcare too, Grace.
You know, when they put the drops around and then they're dilated and then you can't like see, like, I wonder whether there got to be something that's like not dangerous to put in your eyes that you can.
If they can make fake cigarettes, then they have to be able to make something to make your eyes look high.
Yeah.
I think is where I stand on it. But yeah, this episode's incredible. I'm excited to talk through all of it. But first, let's do a little bit of a recap for people who didn't rewatch the episode. Though I will say, go watch the episode. It's great.
Yeah.
Let the crowning commence. Alexis has an idea for a premiere night held in Schitt's Creek. At first, Moira resists, but once Jocelyn shows her an understated rave review from Ornithology Today, Moira gets sucked in and Alexis is forced to get a premiere ready in 4 hours. Ronnie secures a Merlot carpet. Roland has a crow guy hookup and also some skinny jeans. And everything is going off without a hitch until they release the crows, and the crows begin dive bombing the crowd, leading to a video of the event going viral. Meanwhile, Patrick has to have his wisdom teeth removed, and in a drug-addled haze, mentions to David how he wants a baby. David confronts Patrick about his new desire for a child, but luckily Patrick was just super high and had watched Bridget Jones' Baby. They decide to both take some painkillers to attend the premiere. Stevie meets Johnny, expecting him to beg her to return to the motel, which she will gladly do, but instead he wants to buy her out to free her up to pursue her other passions. He even gifts her his memoir, Fast Forward to Success, to help her on her journey. Stevie tells Johnny that she wants to be a part of his plan to franchise the motel, and we're back in business, baby. This episode has everything, Stuart.
Mm-hmm. We always talk about like the A, B, and C plots, the whole Venn diagram of like comedy, plot progression, feels. This, I think, had everything. I certainly think there was like an ABC plot in terms of, but it's they're all strong. Like there's not much between them, which is really good, I think.
What I thought was interesting is when I looked at the list of episodes for the season and was like, and I remember that this episode is really good and it's called the premiere. And in my head, the premiere is like a bigger part of the episode. I actually think like the premiere part is kind of the C storyline. Like that's in terms of like importance, at least it certainly feels the least important of any of the storylines. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think it's the least important, but the most memorable because of the actual event of the premiere and the crows and the havoc. It's all just really great. I also think like having Alexis have yet another, I guess, kind of a win. I don't know how you want to view this, but like she had a good idea. And I love that Moira can't even admit. She says, I might have been wrong and you may have been not wrong. She can't even say the word right to Alexis about this. But yeah, I think it's a great idea.
So I just have to say, I feel like things have been happening in my life where I'll be prepared to come on Schitt's Creek and then a thing will happen to me in real life. And then I'll watch the episode and realize the thing that happened to me in real life is extremely applicable to coming on. So I have to tell you, unfortunately, I was recently attacked by some birds and I am not kidding.
I was going to ask as a joke and be like, oh, were you attacked by some birds? Oh,
they
no,
were not.
Were they geese?
No, they were robins. They're in the I live in my apartment. The access to my apartment is mainly through an alleyway where like between houses, and I have the entrances at the back. And I was taking my dog out for the morning walk, and there was a bird on the ground, and we walked towards it, and the bird did not fly away like I thought it would, and so then I pulled my dog back. Several other robins came and started flying at us and calling us. Turns out there was a nest nearby, and I don't know if this was not a baby bird, but it was clearly like they were worried that
mama bird.
I guess so. I don't know. So nothing actually attacked us, but it did. They kept flying towards us and then flying back and calling at us. So,
whoa,
it's a very relatable episode for me. Yeah,
I'm so shocked to hear that it was robins because robins are notoriously like gentle, kind,
but now
birds.
When they have legs in their nest, I think
not
they
when you're near
birds.
Their nest.
Yeah. Very scary. Very scary.
Like, we will kill you. And so the giant dog.
The scary part was whether or not I thought should I go and retreat to my house or should I try to rush through and go for a walk? And then when I came back, I was very nervous about going back through the alley.
So funny.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm.
I was cat sitting for my friend recently and the cat caught a robin while I was there and like brought it into the house and everything. And I had to do the whole like facing this poor little robin around the house.
Yeah.
Like, once I wrestled the cat away from it, locked them away. And I was just looking up and I was like, Canadian robins, they look quite different from our UK robins. Our UK robins
really?
Are like quite fat.
Wait, do the Canadian like ones look chunky. Like American ones?
I think
I think
we've had this
slender and a bit more golden. They look a little bit more dexy and nimble, and they look like they could.
Well, they are very different.
Could be quite, yeah.
Ours are a little
quite intimidating.
North American Robins, I think, are like darker. They have like a black fur, and then obviously the like orange, you know, yellowish belly.
Yeah,
yours look more gray, and yours looks a little bit smaller.
Smaller, yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't know we had different Robins.
Puffy balls of just rubbing this, but yeah, yours look like quite like nimble and stealthy. And I'm like, if those are like flying at you, like attacking them, like get out of here. If a little puffball of a UK one comes at you, like just give me a tennis racket,
swat it away. Yeah,
well, I would be more scared of crows attacking me, both because crows are larger, have a more intimidating sound, and also are much smarter. Like, they are known to be one of the smartest birds.
What about painted pigeons, though? Like,
no, seagulls.
Yeah, that's true. These are painted seagulls.
Yeah. No, I'm less scared of them. Although seagulls are fairly large as well. So
seagulls, I swear, since I was a kid, I swear seagulls have like doubled in size. Like, evolution is a thing, people, because they are getting huge.
Well, the other thing too is as
seagulls
are, like,
get smaller, seagulls get bigger.
Seagulls also, like, I feel like I see them a lot at like beaches and like and so they're always like near food, and so I feel like I don't like their confidence to not scoo away, because scoo away, that's not a word, shoo away. I don't know.
Yeah,
I like scoo away.
School, get out of here.
Yeah, funnily enough, I recall in my, like, the grocery store in my hometown always had a ton of seagulls there, and I don't live anywhere near the sea. Just like, what are you doing here?
Do you live near discarded food?
Like, I'm sure there was like French fries or something there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this entire storyline. I love Moira reading the review from Ornithology Today, and like, this is an understated rave. Like, she's just so excited. She like poo-poos the idea of a premiere. Then she decides, no, now I have to go. And Stuart, you had asked me last episode about what Moira was going to wear. Did you at all expect that she had kept the dress and shipped back one of Alexis's instead?
I did not suspect it, but I'm so happy it did happen. I love the audacity, though, of trying to return like a gown that is that expensive and just throwing in one of Alexis's old ones and somehow getting away with it. Like, is it just like international shipping? Maybe it would go missing, or I don't know what's like happened there, but like the whole scenario of it is absurd. But I'm so glad it did, because that dress is incredible. Like, it looked like amazing. So to see it return was a really good thing. But I didn't suspect her to, you know, commit fraud in order to keep hold of it. But I can understand.
Yeah. And this is like thousands of dollars, Grace. Like, this isn't like, oh, I bought a dress from Forever 21, got a stain on it, and returned it anyway. Like, this is thousands of dollars. You think someone would have looked at the dress and been like, this isn't it. This isn't the one.
Yeah, I do think those, if you think about someone's job who's like managing that, probably doesn't care enough to be like, oh God, it's the wrong, you know, that's such a hassle to do it. But I mean, I feel like the person who's managing probably doesn't care as much as like if it ended up being found out, it matters more, you know?
It was on sale. They wanted to get rid of it anyway, right? Yeah. Like, they probably
It wasn't custom. It was off the shelf anyway. So,
although
I will give Jocelyn some credit. I came down very hard on her last episode for not being a supportive friend. Very supportive this episode. She's the one who's like, oh, what was it? Today, this Moira Rose is here. Like, very much
Access
pretending.
Access Hollywood. I'm like, I'm star fighting for you.
Her and Twyla both were very supportive, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I think Twyla is probably the most excited at this whole thing, right? Like, Twyla is the one that seems to be continually enthusiastic. Like, Justin's wavered a little bit on the actual content of the film, but Twyla's like always the one to ask the questions, to be like excited. Twyla's just a good egg.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so Alexis is in charge of kind of getting this premiere ready. So she has to get a red carpet. Ronnie has an old Merlot carpet from a church flooding that she has, just like, yikes. Roland in skinny jeans is like truly nothing I ever need to see. I'm happy we really didn't have a full body shot of him, at least not that I noticed, because Why, Roland? Why?
The donk could have been donking.
Like, how absolutely dare you?
See, how do we feel about the supposed, like, you know, the demise of skinny jeans? Because I love skinny jeans. They're the best jeans.
I think
I'm so glad it's over. So glad.
No.
I think I'm more pro skinny jeans for like winter because they're easier to tuck into boots.
Right.
Than like a flare leg or boot cut or baggy, whatever. But like, I'm kind of just out on jeans in general.
So. Oh, really? I love
jeans. Well, because like, you know what? Life's too short to be uncomfortable. I just like leggings or, you
Fair
know,
enough.
Something else, not linen pants. Never jeans anymore.
What about jeggings? What about like the halfway house, like between them?
I just love those as well. Yeah.
I never owned a pair of jeggings.
Maybe so that's it. Maybe that will make them comfortable for you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I appreciate like the kind of like baggy jeans. Makes me feel nostalgic. Makes me feel like I'm like in high school again. I'm like, cause that's just all I wore back then. So like, yeah, and the death of skinny jeans is not going to be something I'm going to particularly miss. Maybe now it means that. The shelves are filled with jeans that are like, yes.
Yeah, but the problem is, if we're getting rid of skinny jeans to bring back low-rise jeans, absolutely not. Mm. No, we don't need that, okay? Like, I've been through my muffin top era, and I don't need to relive it. Thank you.
I feel like the nostalgia like thing of like, because we went through a phase of like recreating the 80s, and now we're like 90s, and it's going to drift towards the noughties. I think every time we kind of like learn mistakes from the past and like kind of take the best aspects of it. So maybe the low rises won't make an appearance. But does that mean that, I don't know, are they going to keep like the Von Dutch hats and like all of that stuff that like made it around in the noughties? Don't remember those? Like,
I'm Googling what a Von Dutch, oh, a trucker hat. Okay. I know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to Google it. I've not heard of them as a Von Dutch hat before.
Me neither. That's a new phrasing for me. Trucker hat.
A trucker toque.
Yeah, sure, that's a trucker hat right there. You get it. Yeah. That's not a toque. Come on.
Everything's a toque to us.
No, it's not.
I love Ronnie walking the red carpet. Oh, honey. I can't get over her. I love her so much.
Have you folks the theory that Jocelyn wrote the Ornithology Today review? Have you heard this?
What?
Yeah.
No.
So last week, the episode before, did they set up that she's a really great writer, right?
Yeah.
And then she's the one who finds the review and reads it. This is a theory. Go online. That
honestly,
Jocelyn
makes her an even better friend.
I know, right? Isn't that so
because
nice?
She also invites the reporter, right, from like Elmdale to come to the premiere. Jocelyn, you're really coming around now.
I guess I don't know how she got something in Ornithology Today, but people on the Reddit seem to believe.
With Ornithology Today, I would fully believe if she just reached out and was like, oh, I wrote a piece on the crowning. Do you want to publish it? And they'd be like, yeah, sure. It's Ornithology Today. Like,
I like the idea, though, that she submitted what she wrote up for Moira in the last episode. You know, the really gushing kind of like review of the trailer. She sent that into them and they've just taken it as just really good.
Yeah.
Edited it down to that.
It's perfect. So yeah, the premiere is going well. I love Moira wanting Johnny to walk down the red carpet with her, not 10 steps behind her. That was very sweet. We'll talk about Moira's look because even though it's not technically a wig, we are going to talk about it in Wig Watch. But the actual moment that the crows just start dive bombing the crowd and David and Patrick are just like mesmerized. It's so good. It's everything.
Yeah. Is it like David is like, this is cool? I can't remember what he said. Like, he
seems then at the end he goes, what the fuck? Which is also great.
Yeah. It's so funny. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect thing to happen at the crowning premiere is for the crows / painted seagulls to be dive bombing all the people on the red carpet. Yeah. Yeah.
Stuart, I want to know what your predictions are for the fallout of this, because obviously we see at the end of the episode that the video has gone quite viral. It looks like 35,000 views or something like that, right?
Certainly. Like, going viral is going to seriously help, like, spread the word of it. And I think that disaster is only going to lend itself to making this become a bit of a cult classic. I am convinced it's going to be. Like, I think there are going to be some, like, crowning fans, like, obsessives. Maybe one's going to turn up to, like, town and just be like, oh, it's my Horizon. She's like, oh, yeah, from Sunrise Bay. And he's like, no, they're crowning! And then, yeah, I can absolutely see that being a thing. Because this is absolute, like, cult film fodder. This has, like, the vibe of The Room, which, like, we have screenings of it over here where, like, people throw plastic spoons at the screen when it's going on. Tommy Wiseau, who's like in it, does like Q&As before it and stuff. And he's back next month after like a really long delay. And I'm really tempted to go get tickets despite having gone to it many times before. I can see it being one of those. And if Moira gets on that like convention circuit like she was before and gets on this like cult film circuit, maybe like she does screenings of it. I mean, like, Moira can make some bank on that, surely. Because if it spreads like globally, at least, maybe.
I feel like the, especially Moira's costuming in the movie is just like so easy to do like a, what, not Comic-Con, what is it called?
Cosplay.
Cosplay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so easy to do a cosplay of, right? So I could totally see that, yeah.
The thing I think about this episode, I like, it's so sweet how much like Moira thinks Alexis can like put this all together in 4 hours and then how like, I feel like it's one of the first times that like, Alexis is like truly under pressure, I feel like, where she like really wants to like actually make sure this goes well. I feel like there's a level, typically she has like a level of, it's just like a little bit of a different vibe, I think, for Alexis, because normally there's like a level of confidence that she can do something, and that normally she doesn't really have to do stuff she doesn't want to, I guess. And this is like, no, she wants to do it for her mom, and she has to figure out how to do it. It's very sweet. She also calls her mom a 12-time Emmy attending actress, which I really like.
It was so good. But she makes good points, right? Where like, this is good for the town, this is buzz for the town. Like, yes, you can walk the red carpet, but also just like, get it together, get everything going, we only have 4 hours. I love her pumping herself up with the like, okay. She's like walking out. I think like comparing this to her singles week extravaganza, it feels like that she was under a ton of pressure, but she also had a ton of lead up time.
Right.
And in this case, it's like, okay, I have 4 hours. She rolls with the punches very easily. I feel like she handles herself very well. Also, she looks incredible this entire episode.
Well, but I think like this is the sixth season of the show, last season of the show. It's very sweet to see that like, two things. One is that like it's the roses, and like, yes, like I feel like that's very, you know, like the first episode I came on for is like kind of how cute they are as a family. They're dancing, like they do love each other, they do try to help each other. And then the other thing is like the thing that Alexis does to make this happen is like rally the community, you know, with this place that they, you know, they bought as a joke. And like, obviously that's like we're like well established to the point that like, yes, they love this town and they're there for the people, but like this is the way in which they continue to like show up for each other, the roses and the town of Schitt's Creek. It's very sweet.
Yeah, I think Alexis's growth with like doing things for the community is really like, it's, you have to, I think, take the reading of it, like, and because we've had it where she's talking about like going away with like Ted on the trip and stuff, and then she like is getting nervous, and it's like, that's, you're gonna be homesick, like you're feeling like you're gonna miss them, and it's, I don't think she quite realizes it. And I think that also like it speaks to her being like incredibly clever, because like the singles week thing had a lot of buy-in from obviously the town, because it was pre-approved by them, and it was Moira basically appropriating the idea and then winning it over in that way. But this time she's got to like go up against Roland and Ronnie and be like, oh, we've got to plan this last minute kind of thing. And she like plays into their interests really well. Like, so it shows that Alexis is really competent at what she does, which is great, because that's, I think, something that has, I think, been slightly lacking with Alexis's whole career, is that we don't really see much of it except for the exposure that we get through the family, which typically has been like taking Moira to a convention or like putting on like an event or a brochure thing for like the motel. So to see Alexis pull something half decent together in 4 hours, be let down by Roland and his painted seagulls, who are just a menace, but also get a viral moment out of it, which ultimately is going to really help everything overall, I think it's just, yeah, it's a testament to Alexis actually being really good at her job, mm-hmm. which is nice to see, because I don't want to see the family be buffoons all the time. It's nice to see them succeed in this last season.
I also love her insult to David of lick rust. Classic. So good. Lick rust. Not as good as eat glass, I don't think, but I do like lick rust. I think it works well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Okay, it's been 25 minutes. I need to talk about Patrick. I just the David, I'm hungry. I'm a hungry, hungry hippo. Can you make me a lasagna, David? Like, it's just,
it's great. It's
so perfect.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun.
I love him so much. It's the best. David trying to shut him up.
Oh yeah, my favorite thing about the whole "Can you make me a lasagna, David?" is just David laughing like instinctually. I imagine,
like he can't make anything. He can't make enchiladas, lasagna. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Lasagna is very labor intensive. There's just no chance at all. I love this. I also love what we hear about the Uber ride back, where Patrick was just shouting wrong directions at the Uber driver.
Are people still obsessed with their Uber ratings? Like, is that still a thing? I remember when they went through a time where everyone seemed to be obsessed with theirs. Like, oh, I'm a 4.9. And now I'm like, I'm not sure if people care anymore.
You can, I think, as long as you can still get an Uber, then you probably don't care.
Yeah. I don't think I take Ubers enough to care about my Uber rating. I love this. Is just, I mean, I had surgery last year, and I was like very worried. Just, not that I would say anything, like, you know, whatever, but like, I just didn't like the idea of not being in control if when I like woke up high on pain meds. And Patrick is so sweet when he's like talking about how handsome David is. It's so cute. Little high little Patrick. Yeah, he's sweet.
It's so, why is your skin so perfect? And David is like trying to shut him up, and he's like, oh, okay. Well, like, it's just a 9-step regimen twice a day. No big deal. Which, 9 steps? Like, listen, I've watched beauty YouTubers. Like, sure, there are some longer, you know, there's longer skincare regimens, but 9? Right. Like, I'm thinking, okay, clean. There's like a cleanser, a toner, a moisturizer. Like, I can think, I can, like, it's like 5. And I'm like thinking about a lot of the extra things you're putting on your face. 9 is a lot. It must take him so long.
He has great skin.
Yeah.
Worth it.
Stuart's face. I wash my face, and then I sometimes put moisturizer on.
Big same. I'm like, wash the face, maybe put on some SPF if it's really sunny, but yeah
that's all I got. But yeah, I love Patrick. I love high little Patrick. I love, you would be a great dad. I wish you were my dad.
And Patrick is a very sweet dad. We met him. Also, we met his dad. His dad is very sweet.
Incredibly. Do you think that that's legit, though? Do you think it is just high talk, or is it that something that maybe, like...
I think he is 1,000% because he just watched Bridget Jones's Baby. Like, whatever you most recently watched is going to stick in your head, especially if you're, like, going under and then you're on pain meds. Yeah, I mean, maybe in the back of... I think he also... Patrick strikes me as the sort of person who, like, if David was down to have a kid, Patrick would be all in and be like, yeah, okay. But because David doesn't want a kid, he's like, I don't care. Like, I don't want it that badly where I don't want to be with you because of a kid.
Yeah.
You know,
this is so good. This is such an adult conversation. It's so good because it's not saying like you have to actually, like, if you are with somebody who doesn't want to have a kid, you then also have to not want to have a kid. You can also, like, I just think I don't know. I think like an older sitcom would have just portrayed this so differently. And honestly, it would have been to the point of a storyline where, like, you know, by the end of this, it would have been more like, oh, like David wants, like now David is going to want to, like, he realizes now that, like, because Patrick would have wanted a kid, he was going to want to have a kid. I just think this is so mature for them to be able to, like, communicate openly. And yeah, I think that, like, Patrick is, like, extra incepted with the idea of, like, a baby at this particular moment because he watched Bridget Jones' Baby just before he went under. But at the same time, it's okay for, you know, Patrick to be like, yeah, like, I always thought I would have wanted a kid, but it's, having a kid is not more important than, like, you know, being with David. And so that's what, like, everyone makes these choices, I think, in relationships and in life. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really great.
Yeah. And I like that David brings it up to him as soon as he is
100%
not completely high. As he, like, I want to talk about this, rather than not addressing it and having these, like, lingering resentments or just, like, uncomfortability. He confronts it head on in a very mature way, in a way that, like you were saying, Grace, most sitcoms won't do. And they'd have this be like, the joke would go on way too long and to the point where it wouldn't be funny anymore. And
or David would go talk to somebody else. Like, he'd have a conversation with, like, Alexis about, like, oh my God, Patrick wants to have a baby, I don't know what to do. And then they'd, like, you know, it's just not that miscommunication thing. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick's saying, I don't want to undermine the significance of this conversation, but I was watching Bridget Jones's Baby. Like, it's all really good, especially when he's like, oh, you got that big heart. Look at that. It's beating so fast. Like, it's so good.
The other thing about, like, I think in terms of when you're queer, you have to also, like, parse out, like, what were the things that were your dreams because you thought that's what you were supposed to do versus what you, like, what you actually want. And, like, that can get very confusing when you come out, where you're like, is that a thing that I only thought and did because I thought I needed to do that, but actually it is a part, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like Patrick is not that far out of being in the closet, that I think is, like, it's very fair for him to, like, have complicated feelings about having children, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's so much, like, projection that comes with, like, certain gender roles and things as well. And then, like, kind of, I think, taking other people's expectations and then you realizing, like, sort of living your truth. And then you're like, well, I've not even really thought about that because I've already had other people's projections onto me about it.
Right.
So it's been like their ideas for it. So it's interesting, see that. Yeah. It's really funny, though, because in the beginning, obviously, he goes, 2 years ago, I thought I'd have a wife and kid at this point. So it's funny how they kind of, like, seeded that in of, like, clearly, subconsciously, like, he's thinking kid because he's watched Bridget Jones's Kid, like, as well. Like, that makes kind of sense, which, yeah, it's a nice little touch to the writing, which I thought was quite interesting. Because, like, I imagine if he wanted a kid, or, like, it was going to be a talking point, it would have come out at that point in the car ride, which I think was probably explaining how it kind of all works and things. I don't understand why his car is that bad. That seems like a really un-Patrick thing to have a death trap of a car, though.
He drives a Toyota Corolla, and my assumption is just that it's on the older side, and that he won't, because he is a very logical, practical person, I think he's like, I don't want to spend the money right now on a new car.
So we're getting from that end. I'm thinking, like, uber safe, kind of, like,
it's a Toyota Corolla. I don't think it's an unsafe car. Yeah. This isn't like a sports.
So it's just David being a bit judgy.
It's David. David, who doesn't even own a vehicle.
Yeah, I don't know that I trust David's.
I'm supporter of a vehicle, technically.
I don't know if I'm like trusting David's perception of what a unsafe or safe car is.
Yeah. You know? You don't drive a Lexus? Can't be safe.
Alexis is his sister. Jess.
Yeah. Drives a little bit of a Lexus.
You've been doing this show for 6 seasons?
Still haven't learned her name.
Don't know.
Which I know.
Just like Myra.
I drove a Corolla before I got my newest car, and my husband still drives a Toyota Corolla. So I'm pretty familiar with the car. Every time I see Patrick's car, it makes me a little giddy because I'm like, oh, I used to have that car. It's a very practical vehicle, I would say. So I just love this whole thing. I could watch High Patrick all day, mm-hmm. every day. Him in his little hoodie with his hood up. It's just like, oh, it's so cute. I can't stand it when he just wants to snuggle David. I love it.
Yeah, the snuggling was really sweet, because especially like when he goes, I'll just kind of like lay with me. And then David is really resistant, lays down. And then the moment the arms kind of wrap around and it's like, okay, you're settled in, you just see this look on David's face of like, okay, this is a good, happy place. Like, yeah. I'm just going to stay here.
Which, I love these sweet moments with them. I'm hungry. He's like, there's nothing I can do about that.
I need to find the gifts of that, because I am constantly hungry, and so I will send it.
I've saved the "I'm a hungry" one. It's just, because it very much is of our generation as well, that like we all owned like hungry hippos, where you just like slam the crap out of the thing to get the little balls, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So good. Okay, let's talk about the more sentimental storyline of Stevie and Johnny. Stuart, are you so happy that the Larry Air story is no more and Stevie is returning to the motel?
Yes. Not happy that it's still getting referenced, but I mean, if this is what we have to do to get away from it, let's get away from it. I'm finally glad that we get a little bit of Stevie, like, I don't know, not feeling lost. I don't like seeing Stevie kind of like wandering like a bit aimlessly and not really knowing what she wants for herself. And I thought that it was great, because again, it's not things being kind of like thrust upon Stevie. Like, Johnny was really respectful, I thought, with the whole situation of like, and offering to buy her out is, I mean, there's a question I have on the practicality of where the hell is Johnny finding this money all of a sudden? Then he talks about the payment plans. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Okay, that makes a bit more sense now. But like, for Johnny to think about that, and like, yeah, he's framing it more in a kind of positive way that Stevie's going to go along with. So he frames it as like the whole taking away the burden of it, when really it's kind of slightly a control thing, and it's probably going to help with things like bank loans and stuff like that. But ultimately, I think there is a real aspect of Johnny trying to do a good thing for a friend here, and which is like kind of to not have this big weight for Stevie to kind of feel that she kind of has to deal with it in any way, shape or form. And so for Stevie then to be given a full out, like a way of like getting out, taking some money, or at least getting something that might help with like traveling or like a new career, being offered it, and then to choose to stay because it's her choice, I thought was really good. I'm really happy about that. Mostly because of Larry Air, but also because of this.
I love that Johnny does this. I think you're right. There is like a practical side of it, of he will own the business. He will be able to use it as equity, you know, as an asset if he needs a future loan, maybe to renovate the place, right? Like there are reasons for him to want to do this for business, on the business side of things. But also, it is a kind gesture to allow Stevie the time to make a decision on what she wants to do, because she would have money coming in, not all at once, but in a manageable way that he can manage, and that for her would be enough for her to get by. I think it comes off even more sentimental because he gives the book, which is like so ridiculous in 90s and or 80s or whatever, you know, it's so dated, you know, like the VHS on it. But like his little note in it is so freaking sweet. Like, it makes me want to die. He's so cute. He says, wishing you happiness in your bright future, your partner, Johnny Rose. Stop it. It's so freaking, I love them together. It's great. I just think they're the best together. I love them.
Yeah, I think that I have not been watching every episode, so in terms of like, it seems to me that there's been a fair bit more than I remember of like Stevie trying to figure out what else she wants to do. I kind of forgot all about the Larry Air stuff. And so I think that like Johnny's sort of proposal to like buy her out, when I was watching it, I felt a little bit like, I feel like what Johnny does is he thinks he's doing like a really nice thing. And obviously it's not like he like doesn't let, I just think he thinks that Stevie would Like, I don't think he thinks that there's a world where Stevie wants to stay. So he doesn't like, he's just offering what he thinks is like, kind of like offering something to Stevie, thinking that's what she would want without realizing there's another thing that she would want, which is to stay. And I think that's like very, I think this happens a lot in where like you kind of don't want to be like a bother to someone or whatever. So you're like offering like an out to them without realizing that like it'd be actually nice to like offer to stay. So it is sweet when she comes back at the end and he's so happy that she wants to come back.
Yeah, you can tell that's what he wanted, right? Like, first of all, the technology stuff, definitely not so Johnny's forte. So and like, I think it's safe to assume it's not Roland's either. So they really do need someone who's able to open a file on a computer. Which is like, Johnny, how did you get by for so many years?
Sometimes when I'm at work,
it was right there.
When I'm at work and people think that I'm good with tech, but then I say, actually, the way I'm good with tech is that like I can help my parents with their iPad or their TV, you know, but like not real actual tech. And I feel like I could be very helpful to Johnny and he would think I was so good at technology, you know?
Yeah,
I'm not anyone, that good at tech. Anyone born not in the Stone Age, as Johnny seemingly was, would be able to help with tech. anyone that can follow basic instructions of the place, I don't know, I'm really triggered by it. Like, I can't deal with this. I like deal with people being obstinate with tech.
It literally, the post-it says like click file, click open. Like, it's like the most basic thing.
Yeah.
But he's so happy when she says she wants to come back. And I love that they're both just like so awkward about the fact that, yes, they're business partners, but they're friends too. Like, they're practically family at this point, but neither one of them is really like a hugger, right? Like, they're both like a little awkward about stuff. So when he offers her the handshake, it's just, it's so adorable. It's so endearing. I just love them.
Underrated Schitt's Creek pair, maybe? Most underrated?
Might be the most underrated pairing. Yeah, because there's a lot of other pairs that you would point to be like, oh, this is the best one.
Yeah.
And no one really talks about. I remember I remember when this first started up, when they first started to be in business together, and I was saying to Stuart, I was like, I'm so happy we're here because I love Johnny and Stevie together.
Yeah.
They're both just so, they're just a little awkward and I love them so much. And I love immediately him being like, well, Roland owns the other motel. And she's like, please, can we not? Like, I'm actually really excited about this.
It was incredibly sweet, but also, are we just going to let Johnny get away with how inadvertently rude he was about Stevie's apartment? feel the need to clean up. And it's like,
you live in a motel, sir.
Exactly.
Their side, though, to be fair, is pretty well kept. I feel like the the Johnny Moira side, I feel like, is.
I think it's just her style. Like, because I was looking at it after, and she has like milk crates with like stuff in that. It's just her style. It's like rustic.
She's got a lot of shit. Rustic. Yeah, it's just things.
And she lives everywhere. In like a studio apartment, you know, like there's not exactly a ton of space to just have stuff.
I think it's okay to nod that, like, I feel like sometimes my apartment, and I feel like I live very similarly to Stevie, which is like, it's not like I'll this is a pastime that I do, which is, I don't know if either of you do this, but do you immediately look up any house that's for sale and look inside of it in your neighborhood? Do you do that?
I've done that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, wow, that's really clean. And obviously those are like staged houses, but like sometimes I'm like, wow, do they live like that all the time? And I'm like, that's not how I live. I do not live that clean, that level of clean all the time. But it's not dirty. It's just like, I have a lot of, I feel like my house is cluttered more than it is like dirty. On the other hand, I think it's incredibly rude the way Johnny don't say those things, Johnny. Just don't say.
I'm glad you didn't feel the need to clean up on my account. Yeah, what?
Rude. Don't say that. Bad.
I would be so embarrassed if someone came into my home and said that. Because I pride myself on, like, if a person were to stop by, which don't ever, it's don't do that. I don't like it. But if a person were to just stop by, I wouldn't feel ashamed to like have them in my home. I would like to prepare. I would love to know if I'm having guests so that I can do the extra step of like dusting or, you know, as usual, there's like our kitchen table tends to be a little bit of a catch-all. There's always like mail or something on the table that I would clean up if I knew we were having guests. But if someone were to stop by, I wouldn't fully panic beyond the fact that someone is stopping by unannounced.
Have you seen that TikTok that says the best favor that you can do for your ADD friends is to just text them and say, I'll be over in an hour.
I'll be over in an hour.
Randomly. And then they and then they clean up frantically and they just never turn up.
That's it. I don't have a deadline to clean up the clutter. There's no reason to, you know?
Yeah. Oh, nightmare.
Grace will be over in an hour.
Oh my God.
it's not great what Johnny does. It's not great. It feels like a dad thing to do almost. Like, go clean your room.
He's just putting his foot in his mouth that he tends to do. Like, and there's no harm meant by or anything like that. If anything, he is trying to, like, I don't know, just say something to, you know, lighten the mood a little bit and just as per usual.
Make it less awkward, fumbles.
Every once in a while, even though I said earlier, this episode is like, oh, they're like a part of Schitt's Creek and they're like, all come together to do the premiere. Every once in a while, you're like, oh, yeah, they used to be like super rich. And they're, you know, they're like, they're the roses, you know, they're the roses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else before we get into some feedback?
I just had to remark on the epic burn of David to Stevie of just why he dressed like a limo driver. Funniest fucking line of the episode for me. I cackled, and to say that was the funniest line when there's like hungry, hungry hippo, and like everything just is, it's up there. I didn't see it coming, and it really spoke to like David and the barriers being down, and just like, you know, the filter being off. Really made me chuckle.
My favorite is still I'm a hungry, hungry hippo because I'm hungry.
I mean, of course.
Okay, Aaron says, shout out to Alexis's dress in episode 5 while pitching the premiere to Moira. 10 out of 10, best dress I've ever seen in my life until Moira put on her premiere gown. And then it got bumped down to second best. Alexis looks gorgeous in this episode. I don't know, like, it's like, I don't know what they're doing with her hair. It's just like, it's incredible. The waves, the body of the hair. I mean, the volume of the hair.
A body?
She got that body, yaddy, yaddy. I love the gold dress the gold that she wears to the premiere. And when you see the person taking pictures of Moira doing her speech, you see Alexis like immediately like, oh, like voguing, like posing. It's incredible. She's always doing the most. All right, it's time to get into our ratings. I haven't really thought much about this week of who is simply the best. Stuart, do you have someone in mind as to who's going to get the point?
Oh, I mean, Johnny's up there. I mean, for the whole gesture and the sentimental moment, I think Alexis is up there for putting everything together at the last minute. Is David up there? Because David really was funny and looked after Patrick. And
I think David for like, actually being willing to have the conversation. I think both of them too. David were being willing to have the conversation, then Patrick to be like honest and open about, you know,
it's a real problem with the whole he was.
Yeah, it's a real problem with like David and Patrick though. So often I think a lot of the like the credit to like their scenes gets kind of split 50-50 between them, because I kind of want to give them both the point, but then I'm like, oh, I can't give them like half points or anything like that. So oftentimes I think I kind of like tend to favor other characters. So maybe I should bear that in mind. I don't know. But I think I'm not gonna skip an excuse to give a point to Johnny when the it arrives, because I've been down on Johnny quite a while a few seasons ago, and people get angry apparently and who listening. So I'm like, no, I'll give Johnny's credit when it's due.
All right, a point for Johnny. Grace, what about you?
Let's give it to Alexis. I feel like Alexis does such a good job. She pulls it all together. She gets the premiere. The video goes viral, you know? So good for Alexis.
Yep. Yeah. I'm struggling.
You were really hoping that someone went for David so you could give it to Patrick, weren't you? You're the worst, Jess.
Just give it to Patrick. Patrick is...
Oh. I don't,
I just don't like, I don't like Stuart reading me. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it.
I think there's not going to be, I think Patrick is more deserving of the point than David. Not that David isn't deserving of it, but I think Patrick's response is so mature. I mean, David's is too, but I think Patrick is basically saying, like, even if I think I wanted a child or I do whatever, I love you. Like, being with you is more important than it. That's so mature. That's so great.
Okay, I'll give it to Patrick. Great. He's hungry, hungry hippo. He needs it. Hippo. He's hungry for points.
Hungry for points.
I love so much. I can't. I won't even deny it. Okay, disgruntled pelican point. This one is trickier. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, who's actually the worst in this episode. And, like, Roland doesn't do anything bad. Maybe the hookup with the crow guy is bad, but, like, isn't it on the crow guy or is it on Roland that, like,
the crow stuff? Crow guy. Yeah.
It feels like it's on the crow guy, not on Roland himself, because he was told there were crows.
Yeah. Grace looks like vet him. He didn't vet him.
He needed Ted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out. That's
horrendous. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Jocelyn, I thought, was really supportive.
What about the actual the
crows themselves?
What about the seagulls?
the seagulls pretending to be crows.
Seagull number three, specifically. Yeah. That one.
It's just hard, Ridley. It's not. There's not a.
This is. Yeah, it's. This is the type of show, though, that I think this is, like, for the most part. I don't know if my impression is that, like, maybe this has happened more often. That, like, there is not, like, even, like, the people who are the worst, like, sometimes are redeemed in some, like, the show is very optimistic, you know what I mean,
about people. I usually can get a good hating into people to give them negative points.
We tend to overlook the redeeming qualities. We're like, no, you did a bad thing, you were awful. Canceled.
well then the one you could give it to is Johnny is very rude.
It's a really valid point. I think Johnny could be in contention. I think Ronnie could be in contention for the whole, like, carpet hogging and delaying the whole like premiere thing. Who else could be? Moira for asking so much on Alexis at such last minute.
That is
committing fraud when keeping that dress.
Not great.
Has Moira ever got a disgruntled pelican vote?
She definitely has. It does not happen often. We overlook her faults probably way too much, but she definitely has. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of negatives. Okay. It's just rare because we love her so much.
This one is tough.
I feel like I'm going with Grace in terms of vetting the crows, right? Like, if Roland's assignment is you have the crow connect and your crow guy brings seagulls, I feel like that's on you. It's your fault.
I agree.
Also, the skinny jeans thing is not great.
Oh, yeah. Skinny jeans, Roland.
So I'm going to give the disgruntled pelican point, which is very funny because it is another bird, to Roland. What about you, Stuart? Where are you going with yours?
Yeah, I'm going to go Roland. Skinny jeans.
Okay. Grace.
That feels like a lot of points for Roland, you know? Like,
you can spread the wealth if you want.
I will say he is the default.
he usually has the most.
Yeah, it's like it's not even cracking a dent in his overall score, so it's fine. Okay, I'll give it to Roland.
All right, three for Roland.
I was tempted to give it to Johnny. That was my
just mining out the one that Stuart gave.
I know.
Okay, sure, let's talk through it's wig watch time, and even though we don't have a wig, we do have an ensemble.
So good.
And now, Stuart, I want to ask you, because I know Grace and I know the answer to this. Stuart, what do you think the crown on Moira's head is made of?
Am I meant to know an actual answer for this?
No, you definitely are not.
Oh, a lamp?
No. No, it's much simpler. So one of the people on the show, like the costuming people, made this out of zip ties and they spray painted it.
Really?
Isn't that cool?
It is cool.
Wow. That's really cool.
It's one of my favorite, like, headpieces that Moira wears throughout the entire series, is this, like, crown that she has.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, it suits the outfit perfectly. It looks kind of really either regal and plush. I never would have guessed it would be zip ties. That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of her like jewelry and like designer clothes, like I think it was bought like online, like they
thrift
like
stores
thrift store and yeah, a lot of and stuff.
Vintage, yeah. Yeah. They like specifically would go, like I know Dan Levy specifically would be involved in like hunting down pieces for Moira to wear. And the dress is like absolutely stunning. It's perfect. Mm. I'm so happy that she committed fraud to keep it. Because I just think it's the best. Also, can I just shout out, because in the same image that the snippet that I took, this crow guy, could he have tried a little bit more? Like, he's wearing a t-shirt. Like, my guy. This is a premiere.
Yeah.
A premiere.
That's 4 hours.
It's premiere in Schitt's Creek, though.
4 hours.
Yeah, and he's a crow guy, I guess. So, you know. yeah. But yeah, I love the headpiece. Her hair also looks very like Hollywood. She looks great. I love her.
So always when we're kind of doing this, I tend to have the episode kind of like playing in the background and things like that. And I just paused down so I could like focus on what we're actually talking about, like look to the image of Moira. And where I paused it, it's stuck on Stevie opening the book. And in the sleeve, there is like the little like blurby bit talking about the author. They've actually written out the whole thing. Like I can't read
really?
It all because like half of it's cut off. So it doesn't flow that well. But like looking through it, like top to bottom, it's talking about Johnny Rose, like and all this spiel. And I love that. I just want to shout out, like, people that make props that go to that level of detail of, like, fully writing out, like, a blurb on a sleeve that only some obsessive, like, me is going to ever notice is just top tier good production.
And like, the photos no they use of him just being, like, older Eugene Levy photos, it's just great. It's so good.
I don't need another project, but I interviewed... there was a gypsy, I can't remember what her last name was, but she was the costume designer on Our Flag Means Death. That's one of the coolest interviews I've ever done, because she was just like, you know, in the episode where they dress up fancy, did you know that all the things from their costumes is actually from episode 3 of that season, where like there was a market and so I could only use things that they would have bought at the market. I was like, that is so brilliant and cool. And so like if I had unlimited time, my next project would be like, let me just interview all the people who do little weird things on shows, because like I feel like they don't get enough credit to like, you know, for like costuming and props, and like it's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's tier rank this episode. As usual, we have our tiers: Hot Shit, Full Bouquet, Love That Journey for Me, Ew David, and Shit Out of Luck. Very average season so far. Everything has been in Love That Journey for Me. I feel like it's gonna change. It's about to change right now. I would argue, I mean, gosh, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I don't hate a single storyline in this episode. Like, I think every single one of them, they either have incredible comedy, a lot of heart, or both. Like, I think, I'm thinking Hot Shit, Stuart. Is that hyperbolic to put this up here?
No, I think you're downplaying it. I would fight anyone who says that it shouldn't be in Hot Shit.
Grace, are you about to fight Stuart?
Yeah, I've always wanted to fight Stuart. It's here. No, it's Hot Shit.
It's so good.
Such a good episode. Like, and then on top of the episode, we were saying, like, it's got everything. All the storylines are really, like, top tier. It's got some of the best laughs that we've had in a long time. Like, instantly gif-able moments that I'm definitely going to, like, steal. If it's not Hot Shit, I don't know what it could be. In fact, we could make another tier, but I mean,
we're not doing that. We're on season six.
Whoa.
On him.
That's hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm. There's so many quotes, and I still feel like I didn't say all of my favorites. That's how you know it's a good one. When I'm like, I definitely missed some quotes that are my favorites, but hungry hippo. I mean, come on now. I've said it at least 6 times on one.
I was going to say, the reason why you've not used all your quotes is because you said that one about that 9 one. Times. Yeah.
I'm a hungry hippo.
Hungry hippo.
That's so good. Make me a lasagna. It's just like, he's the best. So good. That's our episode. Stuart, are you ready to hear what next week's episode is called?
Yeah.
Season 6, episode 6, The Wingman.
The Wingman.
What does this mean? More Larry Ayer content?
Someone, they better not be Larry Ayer. who's gonna be out dating? Like, Stevie? maybe. I don't know. Like, maybe David's going to be a wingman to Stevie for something.
Could be about chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Could be about chicken wings.
Or chickens. Or chickens. Contest.
Not an Eggman, yeah, but wingman.
Maybe there's loads of, like, I don't know, wings Pros. Lying around after the,
yeah, that's the attack. Right.
So that will be next week. Really excited. It should be some fun podcasting. But in the meantime, Grace, thank you so much for joining us yet again on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Tell the people what you have going on, because you got a movie situation happening.
Yeah, I started a new movie. Yeah, I started a new project. As before, I was saying I have too many projects, you know, but that's fine. So I am doing This Century in Cinema over on the Crying Laughing podcast feed. So Ariel and Amanda have rented out their space for me. So every Thursday, I am recapping one of the movies on the New York Times top 100 films of the 21st century, going from 100 down to 1. So I've done Superbad with Ariel and Memories of a Murder with Zach Brooks, and I'll just keep on going. So yeah, very fun project. I just think that list spoke to me. So I'm very excited to, you know, rewatch a bunch of them, and some of them are new. So yeah. And then I'm on social media at High From Grace, writing for Parade, obviously the Tastemakers on RHAP, and all sorts of other stuff. So yeah, thanks for having me on.
Stuart, did you ever take the quiz to see how many of the movies you've seen on the...
Yeah, not as many as I wanted it to be, which was really disappointing. Wasn't anything as high as I think, if I recall, Todd filled it out, and Todd 98.
Wait, what are you trying to don't comp to Todd. Yourself comp to Todd. This man watches like hundreds of movies a year.
I was just dumbfounded. I was like, wow, that's real dedication. I mean, Grace is gonna be 100 out of 100.
I will be 100, yeah.
So that, yeah.
So, in 2 years. I asked Jess, do you want to come on? And she said, yeah, I'll pick these movies. And then the movies that she picked, I said, okay, I'll see you in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have seen, I did take the quiz. I have seen 30 of the 100. And then my husband very quickly reminded me, actually, one of those movies, you only watched like half of it and you didn't like it. So you stopped watching it.
I think it counts. Oh yeah, which one? Yeah.
I do know which one. I feel like I'm gonna offend people because I really didn't like it, and I'm
so
sorry.
You should come on for it.
No. If you love this movie, I'm so sorry. It was Almost Famous. I just didn't like it. I just was bored.
That's Fitzy's favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I was really bored. Also, I don't know that I've always... it may actually be like 29, because I may have only seen half of Black Swan as well. But I was like, I recall seeing it.
I remember seeing Black Swan at 2 a.m. in a cinema in Croydon, and walking out of the cinema at like 4:30 a.m. and just going, that's a bit much, and now I've got to go to sleep soon. Oh, I don't think that's...
And then you got attacked by crows. Swan.
But I have seen Oppenheimer, which is like seeing
longest,
four movies.
I believe newest movie on the list, and close, I think, to being the longest movie on the list.
It's so long. It's so long. But I went to the theater and I saw it. Okay. So
I think a movie that I think about every time I think about that movie, I also think about you, which is I think a big snub on the list is Barbie. I think it's a big snub.
I love the Barbie movie, and it should have been on there. Yeah. I think about the Barbie movie more than I think about a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But there are a few maybe you'll see me, listen to me, I guess. Yeah. On the
how can
podcast.
It have Barbie on there but not how can it have Oppenheimer and not Barbie? Like, yeah, they are a pair. Like, after that song,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying,
yeah, there were some snubs, and that was one of them. But
can I just say, on Taste of this, I apologize if I'm if you're recording or when this episode comes out, there's a new Dan Levy show out. Did you know, have we talked about that? You know, this
we
is a new Dan
not,
Levy show.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a new Dan Levy show,
Standing By. It's about Guardian Angels. It's animated. It's interesting.
Yeah.
He's starring in it, created it? He did both? I can't remember.
Both. I think usually both. With
a new Dan Levy project in 2025.
Also, relevant to your interests, Grace, I just saw the trailer for the spinoff of The Office called The Paper.
The Paper. Saw it today as well.
I recognized a lot of faces, but I recognized one face in particular. I was like, that's freaking Tim Key from Taskmaster.
Tim Key, I'm so excited. I think he's going to be a very, very good in the role that they cast him on. He's had quite the year. He's been in the what's the movie, Stuart? Did you watch the movie where he's like, he invites the singers who used to be like a duet singers, but they've divorced. He invites them both to his Ballad of Willis Island.
The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Wallace Island. He's very good. He's like in like three big movies this year. So
good for Tim Key.
Breaking out.
Love that. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, I know that guy. I mean, I recognize
cheeky little Tim Key.
I love him. He is cheeky little fella. Love him.
Official task consultant on Taskmaster, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. That tracks. Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think that's about everything. Go check out Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I have one more Felicity podcast, and then we are done with that show. And Buffy, we're going to truck on into season 5. So we are zooming along. Season 4, best season of Buffy so far. And I don't care what the haters say. It was great. I loved it. So yeah, that is vibes. It's a vibes season. Stuart, anything you want to tell the people about before we get on out of here?
No, I mean, like last we kind of like tease possible project we're working on. We're recording this the next day, so not much has advanced with that.
Not much has changed. So we'll be back next week with season 6, episode 6, and until then, everyone, warmest regards
and best wishes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.